Coming up this next weekend, it's going to be crazy, 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 crazy. So that's why we need all of you to join us in the craziness. And so if you got any time, we sure could use your help. It takes a lot to pull off this event. This weekend, we'll have probably over 2,000 people on our campus. And so we need help. We need help so that Chris does not have to do corn dogs this year. We want to keep him away from that. But we need help. So if you can, volunteer. Come this Wednesday night. We're going to have a blast here. We're going to eat, have some good food. We're going to celebrate. We're going to have a great time. And so come if you can. And I apologize. It is very unusual for us to have two Sundays in a row that are one service. The way the crazy calendar and our fifth Sundays, it all kind of was a perfect storm. That's why it's happening this way. Always after a fireworks show, we're just dead tired. And so I'll be honest, we're dead tired. And so we're here to about midnight or later. And so to have a late service is a blessing. And so that's why we do it after a fireworks show. And then it just happens to be a fifth Sunday. That's why it's boom, boom, 2 weeks in a row. We apologize, but crazy calendar stuff. So let's get into it. Today, it's not necessarily a Father's Day message. But listen, dads, if you get this right, this could change the trajectory of your family. This could change their future. This could make the biggest impact in your family's life of anything you ever could do if you get this one thing right. Because dads, you set the example. All eyes are on you. And so again, this is not just for dads, this is for everybody, but I want to challenge the dads, get this right. Today we're starting a new series. We're going to the book of Colossians. If you look at the book of Colossians, you see what we call in the series title of this book is supreme. And don't think pizza, right? It is with all the toppings. We're talking supreme, as in Christ is supreme. Christ is first. Pastor Zach kind of teed it up for me this morning. Christ is first. And I think if I say that loud, everybody's like, oh, yeah, we got that, Pastor. And so what I challenge you to do this morning is would you just listen. You know, don't do like I do with my wife. Yeah. You know. And you're trying to cut them off before they finish, and she don't like that, right? She wants to finish. She wants to get her words out, and she don't want me to just cut her off. I don't want you to cut me off this morning. Because I want to say something, and you say, Christ is for, yeah. And you think, I know this, Pastor, but just hang on. Hang on, because I really want to challenge you this morning. Because what we see in the book of Colossians is that Paul gives us probably the most concentrated teaching on the theology of Christ. And what Paul is going to tell us this morning is Jesus is the answer for everything. He's supreme. He's sufficient. He's the one who saved us from sin. He's the one that changed us into new creatures. He's the one who gave us life. And so Paul writes this book to make sure the church has a clear view of who Jesus is. And if we get a clear view of who Jesus is, that should in turn influence our obedience to Christ, which in turn should impact our region, our world for Christ. What's amazing is I'm going to start walking through this book of Colossians. And if I didn't tell you, you'd almost think it's a letter for us today. It's crazy because watch this. So this was written during one of Paul's imprisonments, right? He had a lot of them. This is one of the times Paul was in jail for some extended period of time just because he refused to stop telling everybody about Jesus. And so Paul actually never met the people that he's writing to. A friend of his started a church there, and his friend told Paul what's happening. So Paul's like, that's not right. I'm going to write some things to correct them. And so that's what's happening here. It's a pretty straightforward letter, small letter. But Paul has a couple concerns. And listen to the concerns. The concerns he has is because Colossae has been influenced by the culture around them in a way that's warped their understanding of God. You hear that? Colossae has been impacted by the culture around them, and it's warped their sense of God. Hello? That's where we're at. Where we're getting this false sense of God from all the outside forces telling, this is God, this is God. It feels good, do it. And we're allowing that to warp our sense of God. That's what's happening here. And that's what he's going to address. And second, he's going to address, people are starting to ask questions like, well, if Paul really is a messenger of God, why is he going through all this suffering? And so Paul's going to address these two things. Let's lay a little groundwork. We're going to lay a lot of groundwork, but it's very important for you to understand this. The city of Colossae was a prosperous city. It was in the middle of what we would consider modern-day Turkey. So that's where we're talking about, Colossae. It was a bustling city, right? It was part of the Roman Empire. And when it came to the Roman Empire and religion, they had two basic guidelines. Now listen to this. The first guideline, you can worship any god you want to. Second guideline, don't say your God is the only God, because that might lead to conflict. Hello? Does that sound familiar? Don't say your God's the only God, because that's going to lead to conflict. You worship that God, I worship that God, we're all in one boat together. No. But that was their rule. Don't say your God's the only God, because it might lead to conflict, or it might lead you to thinking that you should be in charge when Rome is in charge. So many of the Roman cities that day, Colossae was filled with temples and shrines to all kinds of God. The general ideal was find the God that works for you. I'm telling you, it literally mirrors our society today. Find the God works for you. If that church doesn't do it for you, there's one down the road, they'll fly a flag that you like, and you go worship there. Find the God, I'm telling you, it's crazy. It's almost like they had a smorgasbord of gods. And you pick and choose, and you create your own God. Even today, I think a lot of believers add to Jesus. They add to ensure peace and prosperity. Like, we got Jesus, but you know, I just don't know Jesus is going to cut it, so I'm going to add Jesus. I'm going to take a little bit of this, too. Because this means prosperity. This means I'll be... And they start forming their own little God. They never reject Jesus. They just add to him. So Paul gives us a case for the supremacy of Christ. And you need to hear this morning. That the supremacy of Christ in all creations. All right? Verses 15 through 17 this morning. It says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, or rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. There's so much right there. There's a lot of theology right there. We're going to touch a little bit of it, but there's a lot there to unpack. Let me start by asking this. What does it mean when it says all things were created by him, for him? Think about that. Let us settle in. All things were created by him, for him. What's that? That's telling me that he's God, right? If all things are created by him, for him, that's telling me he's God. Because the only uncreated thing is God, right? All right, so follow this kind of thinking out, all right? So if everything was created by Jesus, and Jesus was himself created, then Jesus would have to create himself, which to me is impossible. Do you follow that? Listen, because there's some people that got questions about Jesus, about who Jesus is. There's religions that got questions about, they teach a little different what we believe. And so the logic is, if everything was created by Jesus, and Jesus himself was created, then he had to create himself, which is impossible. So the fact that Jesus created everything that was created means Jesus is uncreated, which means he's God. You following that? I mean, it's a little crazy, right? But hopefully you're sticking with me. Because you need to understand that Jesus is uncreated. That means he's God. All right? Because scholars point out that Colossians 1 it mirrors Genesis 1. It parallels Genesis 1. In Genesis 1, what do we see? We see that the Word, we see a created Jesus was the Word. The Word created. That's what we see in Genesis. That's what Paul's echoing here. That Christ existed before creation. I'm spending a little time here because you have to get this. Because you're going to be challenged with people saying, well, Jesus isn't really a God. He's a good teacher. He's a good moral person. He's this, he's that. He's not a God. And so that's why we're spending a little time here, that Christ existed before creation. Because we get to verse 15, a lot of people tee off in verse 15. Because in verse 15, there's this little word here that people will use to challenge that God, that Jesus was really a God. So verse 15, it throws that word firstborn in there, right? The firstborn, that Greek word, protetikos, is firstborn. And so they take that and they say, well, see, Jesus was the first thing God created. Well, that's not true. The firstborn there means position, means chief, means preeminent, means ruler, first in rank. We actually get our word today from that prototakis. We get our word prototype from that. Okay? So now think of it. Think of Jesus as the prototype of creation. You follow me? That he's the temple and all things were created and the one whom all things were created for. Because in a couple of verses, Paul's going to use that word firstborn again, firstborn from the dead. Right? And you think, okay, well, there's other people who were raised from dead before Jesus. Absolutely. But Jesus was the prototype of resurrection, the pattern that the rest of us are going to follow. Again, I know this is crazy for a Sunday morning, but you have to understand this. You have to know this because people will challenge you on this. Think about it. What do the Muslims believe? Who do the Muslims believe Jesus is? They'll tell you Jesus is like Abraham, Moses, and Isaiah, that he was a prophet of God. He was not God himself. They will tell you, in fact, he wasn't the most important prophet. Then you have the Mormons. The Mormons believe Jesus was literally the firstborn of God. Now that gets a little crazy to follow out, but I don't want to explain that this morning, but it just gets a little crazy. And then you get to Jehovah's Witnesses, and they believe that Jesus was created by Jehovah as an archangel, Michael, before the physical world existed. And is lesser, though mighty God, little g. So what we see is this common thread, and I think we see it today in our society, is this common thread that Jesus was a great man. That Jesus was a great moral teacher, but not God. I mean, think about it. If Jesus was a created being, even super strong, super wise, then you could look at him as a dispenser of good moral advice, and you end up putting him alongside other great religious leaders. And that's easy to put in our little box and comprehend. But if he's God, then the rules are altogether different, aren't they? It means that he's the center of everything. Everything is measured by him. You were created by Jesus for Jesus. Let that sink in. Which means my primary purpose is to know and discover his will and to live that out. And I only find fulfillment when I know him and I'm living his purpose out. That's when I find fulfillment. I find fulfillment when I come to a service like this and I worship the Lord. Why? Because he's the only thing that can satisfy us. We go looking for these other things. We put Jesus and these other things that we think, well, this will satisfy me. He's the only thing. And until we get that, we understand and establish him as one in our life, nothing else will satisfy us. I don't care how many hobbies you got. None of them will satisfy you like Jesus will satisfy you. So what we see in Colossae is they got Jesus, but then they got all these other things. They got Jesus, and they got Instagram. You know, they got Jesus, and they got TikTok. They got Jesus, and they got golf. You know, they got Jesus, and they got smoked meats. Come on, somebody. Hey, these things will satisfy. Jesus is good moral teacher, but these things will satisfy. They got Jesus, and they got the smoking hot boyfriend or girlfriend. Because these will... So that's the problem. So then Paul's going to show us the supremacy of Christ in the church in verses 18 to 20. It says, and he is the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth, heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Okay, here's Paul's logic. Jesus is first. Jesus is the creator of everything, the template on which everything is made and to whom everything was made. And the point is that Jesus is not one of the many beautiful things God created, that Jesus is the creating force and the purpose behind it all. Jesus went first, Paul said, pursued a relationship with us. When we weren't even looking for him, Jesus pursued us. He went to a bloody cross where he experienced torture, humility, so he could buy us back voluntarily. Any other story, that doesn't make sense. He could have wiped the slate clean and started over, but he didn't. He pursued us. He sought us as strangers, as wonders. He rescued us. And Paul says where we should put Jesus first is where we should put Jesus first in our lives. This kind of God can never be on a list of God. Like, Jesus plus doesn't work. That he's not just a chapter in your life, he's the book. And all other chapters are written upon that book. He exists in a class all by himself. And Paul's going to say that what is true in their theology should also be true in their lives. Come on. In a lot of your theology, you say, Jesus is first. You come on a Sunday morning, Jesus is first. So in your theology, you're saying Jesus is first, but how it's played out in your life, you're saying Jesus is last. Come on. Let's be honest this morning. He's got to be first. Scripture says preeminent. That means foundation, the center of all. Here's my question. Does Jesus hold that position in your life? Is he first? Or is he simply one of the many priorities in your life? Well, he's a priority, but, you know, it's just, I mean, how important is it to you? Paul says he should have first place in everything. That means first place in your heart. That means your affections. That means he's the one you love the most over everything. First place in your obedience. Like, you should consider him when making any of your decisions. First place in your priorities. His agenda should rule your agenda. First place in your talents. I mean, he gave you the talent for a reason. First place in your workplace. I mean, you should see your job as a means to bring the gospel to those around you. Like, Pastor, I can't talk about Jesus. That's okay. You can love people, can't you? You can show up with donuts, can't you? You can say, hey, can I help you? That stuff is no cost. That's easy, to show the practical love of Jesus. First place in your treasure, come on. That one gets a little painful. I mean, who gets the first and best of your treasure? Because sometimes you really want to strive for the best, and sometimes you're willing to live with good enough. Don't you love when you go buy something and they have the categories? They have these categories to shame you to buy more, right? They have the categories good, better, best. Don't you love that? The salesman's like, okay, what do you want? Like, this one's good. This one's better. But this one right here, this is the best we got. And you're looking at it and you're like, well, of course I want the best, right? But that one's good. Is it good enough? You know, in that example, like, I'm thinking, like, we're shopping for our dog. Like, we got a dog recently. Unfortunate for us, but we got a dog recently. When I'm shopping for the dog, guess what? Good enough? That's good enough. He's lucky it's good enough. But look, when you're thinking about your kid's college, that hits different, doesn't it? Like, not the sharpest tool in a shed. So maybe good enough is good enough. Or you want the best. And you look at that and you say, well, you know, if I want the best, we're going to have to make some changes to get the best. When's the last time you said that about your giving? Again, this is not a tithing sermon, so don't shut me off right now. Good, better, best. Because if he's supreme, he gets our best. If he's not, he gets your leftovers. Listen, Jesus doesn't deserve your leftovers. He deserves first place in everything. Think about it. If I invite you over to my house for dinner, you show up, I set a plate of food down in front of you, and it's a hamburger we got at Five Guys the day before. It's a French fries we got at Five Guys the day before. I put that plate down. I microwaved it. I did not air fry it. Come on. Come on. You ever had microwave French fries? Like, I can't do microwave French fries. I just can't do it, right? That's just filthy. And so I set this plate down in front of you. What are you going to think? What are you going to think? I mean, I think you're going to be a little exalted because the meal was originally prepared for somebody else. It wasn't prepared for you. That's how we treat Jesus when he's not first. We give him the leftovers. We give him the French fries that won't even stand up. I mean, come on. He deserves better than that. We say Christ is first, but we don't act like that in our lives. We don't act like that with the talent God has given us. We don't offer our best to him. When do you do your prayer and worship? In the morning? Listen, the morning is like my time to shine. Get a cup of coffee, like I'm good. About 9 o'clock, I'm getting older, so about 9 o'clock, I'm done. Right? Like 9 o'clock reserved for like basketball, ESPN, something like that, so I don't have to think. Do I give God my best or my leftovers? You go to work. You're short with everybody. You don't want to help nobody. You're not showing no love. Are you giving God your best or your leftovers? You come home from work. Interact with your spouse. You had a bad day at work, so you're going to take it out on your spouse. Are you giving your spouse your best or your worst? We say, I got this, Pastor, but we don't live it out. We think we got the theology of Jesus is supreme, but we're not living it out. I'm telling you, dads, if you understand this and you live it out, it will literally change your family. Because you're setting the example. You're the spiritual head of your home, whether you're acting like it or not. So think of it in two categories. I want the worship team coming up. I need to shut her down. Think of it in two categories. You got your first and your best, and you got your good enough. So what gets your first and your best? What gets your good enough? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? The book of Acts, you see the early church start. And the early church blew up. Why? Because they had this handful of Christians who were simply listening to the Holy Spirit. And if you research it out, you see the Holy Spirit show up 59 times in the book of Acts. Are you hearing from him? Is your life characterized by surrender and obedience? Would you stand with us this morning? It's easy to shake your head. Yeah, Pastor. Yeah, Christ first. I believe that. And it's harder to live it out. Harder to live it out Christ first at work. Harder to live it out Christ first in your marriage. Harder to live it out Christ first in my treasures. Because that means I might have to sacrifice some things. Christ first. Christ first in my marriage. I might have to sacrifice some hobbies to spend some more time with my wife. Christ first at work means I might have to bite my lip a couple times. Christ first in my treasure means maybe I don't need that new rifle for this hunting season. I've killed plenty of deer with the old one. I don't want to meddle. I'm not meddling. I'm simply asking a question. First and best, good enough. We're talking about Christ supreme, the creator of all things, the God of all things, the King of heaven and earth. It's first and best or good enough. Should be no question. But the temptation is to restrict the preeminence of Christ to one day a week. As if he were Lord and worthy of praise for only 1 hour on a Sunday morning. He's to be honored as preeminent, not only at all things, but all times, every context, every circumstance. We have to resist the temptation to isolate the preeminence of God to only these religious matters. Preeminence means all things. Every portion of your life. Are you giving him first and best or good enough? I'm telling you, good enough will not work in your marriage. Good enough won't work in your relationship with your kids. Good enough won't work with your job. Why would it work with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I want to stop with this illustration. Many of you guys have seen the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper painting by Da Vinci. Beautiful painting, right? Da Vinci took 3 years to paint this painting. He got done. He invited a very trusted friend over. To show you my new masterpiece. This friend came and he looked at the painting, he's blown away, right? He's like, this is unbelievable. He said, the first thing out of the friend's mouth was, the cup in Jesus' hand is exquisite. Look it up. Look the painting up. There's not a cup in Jesus' hand. Da Vinci was so offended by that. He said, nothing must distract from the figure of Jesus. So 3 years of work, he went back, and he basically erased the cup of Jesus. If you look at the painting today, there's not a cup in his hand. Nothing can distract from Jesus. Our society will tell you, you need a little of this to be happy. You need a little of this to be fulfilled. You need a little... Jesus. All you need is Jesus. All you need to do is make Jesus number one in your life. All you need to do is be satisfied by Jesus. You need to come into a service like today, worship, and let him satisfy you like these things in this world cannot do. Because he's either supreme or he's good enough. Is he supreme in your life this morning? Would you bow your heads with us? Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray this morning. Lord, I pray that we resolve in our hearts this morning. Lord, we commit to you today. You're going to be supreme in my life. Lord, tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up and ask, how can I make you number one in my life today? Lord, I'm going to go to my job tomorrow. I'm going to ask, Lord, how can I make you number one in my job tomorrow? Lord, I'm going to come home from work. I'm going to say, Lord, how can I make you number one in my marriage, Lord? All my ways, how can I make you number one? Because you are the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You reign supreme. Oh Lord, let us recognize that this morning. Let us be satisfied in you this morning, Father. I pray over all the dads this morning. Lord, establish you as number one over everything in their life. You're number one. Lord, I pray every father, they take it to heart this morning. They establish you as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as you as supreme of their life. Monday through Friday, you, Lord, you're number one. Lord, we establish that. We don't just shake our heads, we do something about it. For the sake of our marriage, for the sake of our kids, for the sake of our families, we're going to establish you, Lord, as number one in our life this morning. Hallelujah. Right now, would you do that in your heart? Would you just commit to him this morning? And Lord, there may be some areas in my life I have not put you number one. This morning, Lord, I'm going to establish you as Lord of my life. Every part of my life. I'm going to live my life as if